lights on. That's good.
I left the original in there. I'm going to go ahead and make
it. And the prayer. The red key.
Good to see everybody tonight. Everybody's had a good week so far. Pretty weather, sunshine, and always great for that. I want to give a few prayer requests and ask a few to get what they might want to do. Bible on Bible. Send him home, but has come back and had more surgery, and some chemotherapy. So, other than that, remember everybody in the prayer sheet, apart from Miss Barbara Anderson, and, she's doing good. She had a kidney stone. The Lord rolled the stone away. So,
you were just waiting to test that out.
I was thinking about my problem. I said, should I joke about this with her? I know she'd laugh regardless. I didn't say it, but I wanted to say it tonight. Sometimes you have to blast the stone away when it gets like that, but she's doing better. And that's a praise. Tomorrow, I'm making a visit to the Tidwell family. They've been coming. We're friends with them. We've been friends for a while. That's the family, the young man came to the altar the second time we sang that song. So, talking to him, but also the dad is really feeling moved from God concerning certain calling. I don't want to say too much about it yet because I'll talk to him tomorrow. He's 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And feel God's calling. But if that's not God working, I don't know what is. Thoroughly excited about that. I know Brother Jackson, Jack and y'all were passing today or yesterday or something. We're checking with her.
Yes, I talked to her off and on. We're going over there Friday. Okay. Yes.
So remember them and their situation. I've got others on my mind. I just can't pull them right now. So someone have a request or? Remember that. I'm huddled up with you pretty soon. The team huddle. We've had several visitors. Remember them. Most of them said they're coming back. Everyone I've talked to.
to say it's a privilege and an honor to get to any time to teach God's Word. And what we're going to look at tonight is going to be in Daniel chapter 9, and it'll be verse 24 through 27, but there'll be many other books that we'll be going to. Jackie is passing out, or has already passed out, kind of what we'll be looking at tonight. How many know about or understand the 70th week prophecy of Daniel? Has anybody? I know some of you have because you was in the class when I taught Revelations, and I've always teach this first before I get into the book of Revelations. I think this right here is very important to understand. It starts the beginning of everything, of the prophecies that came down through the Bible. So if you would turn to Daniel 9, and we're going to look at verse 24 and 27. But before that, in Daniel 9, it says that Daniel prayed because he knew what Jeremiah was talking about when the curse came on Israel, that they would be in captivity. And Jeremiah tried to warn the people about what would be happening. So, and it said that Daniel prayed for God to reveal it to him and how to reach these people. I want to start out with that Daniel 9 is the greatest chapter in all the Bible, to understand. What a prayer he prayed. And if y'all want to go back and read that, start with the, like I said, chapter 9 and go all the way through up to verse 23. Daniel prays for Israel, but you know what? He's praying for the sins and the iniquity of what caused all this to come against Israel. But his sins, he's also praying for his own sins. So that kind of tells me that in the time we're living in now, and with the things that we're seeing, that's the way we should be praying. You know, Lord, forgive me of my sins and my iniquities. Help me to do right. Help me to serve you in the manner that you want, that I can help other people, and that Christians would start taking a stand and praying the same prayer. And with this, there might be, I like to say, the time we have right now with our president in office, I think it's a window, a time for Christians to take that stand, to start praying for our president, because I believe that God has him under his control. I don't know if Donald Trump is saved or not, but God, all the way through the Bible, has used people to get his will done. And we pray for our president. And as long as he's doing what he's doing, God's going to bless him and protect him if his people will call out and ask for it. I think it's a window of opportunity for us as Christians to take that stand to make a difference in this nation. That's what God's waiting for to see. If we're going to do it. If not, he could just say, well, we're just going to let it, you know, go the other way. We'll just let it go back into the liberals, let them handle it like we had those 8 years of you-know-who and what it's done to our country. God has given us this opportunity to come back to him. And that's why when I read this about Daniel, I said, this is the prayer we need to pray. Lord, forgive me of my sins and my iniquities. Help me to help others to understand what's going on and to reach people. Okay, well, that said, in 9 it says this talking about the 70th week, it has a double theme. It's talking about his prayer, and then he gives the prophecy of Daniel. Time allowing, I don't know if we get through all this. It's pretty good bit of stuff, as y'all can see on Scripture. But here I want to read. It says the prayer, he said, he began an intense and prolonged prayer to God concerning both his personal sins and those national sins of Israel, which had caused the captivity in the first place. If you would, run to Jeremiah chapter 25:11 real quick. got so many thin pages that won't let go. I do. Everybody got it except me, okay. Jackie, how about reading that for us, if you would?
And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years.
Okay, that was the prophecy that was given to Jeremiah because of what they did. And we'll look at that. It has to go all the way back into the book of... who does say it has to go back into the book of Numbers, and we're going to be looking at that also. So let me go on with this. It says this prophecy given to Daniel by Gabriel is the most important, the most amazing, and the most profound single prophecy in the entire Word of God. This is what this prophecy starts all the other prophecies. And there's been prophecies that's already been done, but there's prophecies that's not, that still are future prophecies that haven't been opened yet. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit. Okay, it said, to whom this prophecy was referred to? It's referred to Israel. It's always been said, when you take your Bible and read it, it's a book written by Jews for Jews. We were grafted in to the family. So you look at it that way. When God's speaking to his Old Testament, he's talking to the Jewish people about Jewish people, about Jewish times. Okay, what does it mean by the terms 70 weeks? 70 weeks is literally seven sevens. And people say, well, you know, how do you know this? And it says the expression in Hebrews would be the same as an English saying, I went to the store and bought a dozen of eggs or a dozen of something. Well, this means the same thing. What they say is a dozen, or we're saying by 12 of something. It means that this is sevens of 70s. And we're going to read the prophecy how this happened. The whole history of the people Israel will be consummated in a period of seven 70s. If you take Leviticus 25, please turn there. We're going to look at, this will answer what he was talking about, the sevens. I don't know if y'all know about the Jubilee year, the 50th Jubilee year. Well, this has to do with it. God set this up. In Leviticus chapter 25, verse 3. We're going to look at 3, 4, and then 8 through 10. Y'all tell me when y'all there. Leviticus 25, verse 3, 4, and then 8 through 10. It said, 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. He said, you know, 6 years you can work, but that seventh year you're going to leave the land alone and let it lay and let it rest and get ready for the next harvest. So this is straight from God. And it says in verse 8, and thou shalt number seven sevenths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years, and the space of the seventh Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Okay, what he's saying is that the way he set this up is that, like I said, 6 years you toil the land, but on that seventh year, you leave that land alone, let it rest the whole year, let it redo what it's going to do. And he said, and then you pick it up and start all over. So that's where we get the seven sevens from. And if you look at it, he said, and that will go into 49 years. And in the ninth verse, he said, then shall thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 70th month in the Day of Atonement. Shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all our land. Okay, what he's saying, after the 49th year, the next year is called the Jubilee year. The Jubilee year is when land is returned back to the rightful owner. It says after if a slave was with you after 7 years, you had to release him that he could go back to his home and that he starts his farming all over again. God meant this for a reason, and he expected the Jews to abide by this. This is one of his commandments that they do this. And with saying this, Israel got slack, and it went on. I want to explain, well, first, Israel got slack for 490 years on this, okay? From the time up to where Jeremiah got the vision was 490 years. And he's trying to tell them, God said, you need to do this. The land needs to rest. You're not doing what he asked you to. It's an iniquity. It's a sin. So he said that because of this, Jeremiah said, you're going to go in slavery for 70 years. Okay? So if you take 70, multiply it by 7, you come up with 490 years. That's the years that they went and transgressed against God. Okay? So in saying that, every number, like Justin has talked about, means something to God. What's the number 40 mean? Trials, probation. Okay? Right? The number 9 means judgment. So he's putting them on the 49th year of probation, of seeing how they do. And the judgment that comes against them. After 490 years, they didn't do anything, so judgment fell on Israel. And they went into captivity from Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon for 70 years. God knows what he's doing. God knows this book. He wrote it. Okay, let me get back to what I did want to explain that to you when you know about the sevens. The whole history of the people of Israel will be consummated in a period of 77s of years. To clarify the meaning of 70 weeks, it should be noted that Israel had in its calendar not only a week of 7 days, but also a week of 7 years. Very important to God for this. And I'm going to run these numbers together for you. Genesis 29, 27, 28. Let me see if I can get this real quick, huh? Like I said, y'all, there's a lot to this. I enjoy teaching it. I enjoy everything about the Word of God because I can see how he come through the whole Bible all the way to the end till we go to be with him, that he's involved in all of our lives. When I taught Revelations, I think, and I'm not gloating about me, but I think they had the best understanding of Revelation. Because I did it not by chapter. I did it chronologically. Went through that. And it broke it down where people understood what was going on. So Genesis 9, 27, 28. Here's something else I want you to see. Fulfill her week. Remember what we said, a week. And we will give this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. And he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. When Jacob wanted Rachel to be his wife, was it Laban, what's his name, her father's? Anyway, said, if you'll work for me 7 years, you can have her. Well, we know that didn't work out because he said the older daughter had to be married first, so he tricked him into that marriage. And Jacob was all upset, and he said, you know, this ain't right. He said, well, I tell you what, if you'd serve me 7 more years, you can have Rachel. So he winds up with 2 wives, which You know, I ain't saying nothing about that. But, but God uses those numbers for a reason. Seven in God's is completion. There's a list. I've got a list of all the numbers, how he used them, and maybe one day we'll get in that. But God is telling Daniel that he would continue to deal with Israel for another 490 years before bringing in everlasting righteousness. Now, what he's talking about, Jeremiah, this happened to Israel, captivity, 70 years. And then, you know, they were released by Cyrus. If y'all heard Cyrus on the news, you're hearing also Trump. So kind of pay attention to that. Israel, I'm getting off on this. The Jewish people in Israel has made a coin. I don't know if y'all have seen it, but it's their coin now that has a picture of Cyrus and Trump on the coin because they believe that Trump is a type of Cyrus about freeing Israel. Now, this comes from Israel. This doesn't come from, you know, laymans or anything like this. On the other side of that coin shows a picture of the third temple to be built. We're getting to the close to the end of time. To the rapture. Don't say the end of time, to the rapture. Because it said that third temple has to be built during that 7 years of tribulation. And it says that and at the first of the tribulation, when the Antichrist comes on, we won't be here. So then how close are we? If we're already seeing Israel making a coin, that this is their coin, and it's comparing it to Trump, to Cyrus, they are seeing something. They're believing in their scriptures. I don't know why I got off on that. But anyway. All right. To summarize a particular point, Israel was to allow its land to remain idle every 7 years. We read that. This command was disobeyed. And we give you some scripture on that. And y'all have got it. I read a little bit because... turn to Leviticus 26. I want to show you something. Disobeyed. Leviticus 26, 35 and 33. Now this is what God's telling, and this is what he showed Jeremiah. In verse 33 of Leviticus 26, it says, "And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathens, and I will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities wasted. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath." See, he meant for his land to have that year, that Sabbath, "as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land," which is Babylon, "even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath." You won't be in it, but the land's going to rest like I told it to, like I told you it would, like I asked you to do it. You can't do this, then the judgments come. And after, like I said, the 490 years, well, we're fixing to see another 490 years. And this is where the prophecy of Daniel, the 70th week, shows. It says, "Finally, over a period of 490 years, the nation had built up a land rest debt of 70 years. Daniel knew this and was praying about it. He recognized that the 70 years of captivity represented 77s of years in which those violations has transpired. Gabriel," let's turn to, we'll turn back to Daniel before I run ahead this thing. I'm bad about that, so. Y'all bear with me. Y'all, sometimes I get a little excited up here because I get excited about what I know, what I've studied. I've been looking at prophecy for about, since the early 1980s. And it excites me that even when I was studying and reading the other scholars and stuff that they had written books by Clarence Larkin, Tim LaHaye, all these people who study eschatology. And eschatology is the study of prophecy. So as I see this stuff happening, you know, even back then I was asking questions and reading, but now the day we're living in and we're starting to see this stuff, we're seeing Ezekiel 38 forming. It's not here now because it's going to be happening during the tribulation, which is the formation of Russia, Iran, and Turkey. And three or four of the nations listed in Ezekiel 38 are going to march against Israel. They're forming. It was on the news one day. They showed all four of them: Russia, Iran, Turkey. That's Ezekiel 38. I see this stuff and knew, you know, how long back there. It excites me. I'm getting ready. This is why I do this. I want people to get ready. He said to occupy. Don't get upset. Don't go locking your house and, you know, get in the bed and cover up. Say, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm scared about what's going on. He said, occupy. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep teaching. Keep preaching. Keep singing. Keep witnessing to people and try to win as many as we can. Because soon, he said, it's going to be dark and we're not going to have this opportunity. So with that said, chapter 9. Verse 20, well, we're going to read 23, I think. Chapter 9, verse, well, let's go to verse 20. I told you this could be long. The meaning of the 70 weeks. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord and my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked to me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of their supplication, the commandment came forth. He said, heard from heaven. We heard it. And he sent me to here to tell you. And that awesome God, he takes a little person like us that don't mean much compared to a universe, galaxy, and all that, and he hears us. He just proved it. I heard him. So in the beginning of thy supplication, and the commandment came forth, and I come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. He said, I'm fixing to tell you something. Get ready for it. And verse 24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgressions, to make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the visions and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 70 weeks. This has been fulfilled partially. And I'll explain all that to you in just a minute. And 62 weeks, the street shall be built again and the wall, even in turbulent times. And after 62 weeks, remember those numbers, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end therefore shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now look at verse 27. And ye shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now he's talking about the Antichrist up here when he said right here, in verse 26, but not for himself and the people of the prince to come. That prince ain't Jesus they're talking about right there. They're talking about the Antichrist. And it says, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. In the Bible, 1 week means 7 years. Okay? And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And saying that, this is what he, Gabriel, gave Daniel. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm trying to slow down, y'all. But when was the 70-week period to begin? It was to begin while the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild the wall. Isn't that funny? To rebuild the wall. Nehemiah, okay. First two chapters of Nehemiah, he cried and wanted, you know, the wall to build. Now, this is after the Israelites, the Hebrew children, had been taken out of the land. And he said, why they're gone? I mean, they're gone. He said, but let's rebuild our walls, because Nebuchadnezzar came in there and tore it down. Tore down walls, gates, everything. And it just tore him up. And he went to the king and said, you know, I need permission to rebuild the walls. I thought that was something. The first two chapters, if you read it, Nehemiah informed us that this command was issued during the 20th year of Artaxerxes, I think how you say it. And this date is important, March 14th, 445 B.C. March 14th, 445 B.C. This is, what are the distant time periods mentioned within the 70-week period, and what was it to happen during each period? And there are three periods of time that I want to show you in this. The first period, the first 7 weeks. We're going to do it in weeks right now. 445 B.C. Okay, this breaks down into three periods. And the first period is 7 weeks. Okay? Now, we're breaking down into weeks, and then you'll understand what how God gave this to Gabriel. All right, it says 70 weeks or 7 weeks. 7 weeks times seven is 49 years. When Nehemiah got the call, when he got the call and asked the king if he could rebuild a wall, it was for 40, took up to 49 years to build a wall. 7 weeks. See, that's how they use their time on their calendar. From 445 B.C. to 396 B.C., the key events during this time were the building of the struts and the walls of Jerusalem. It took 49 years to rebuild this. This is the first period of the 70th week. Okay? Second period. It says, remember it said up here in verse 26, and after 62 weeks, how many weeks is that? 62 weeks. Okay. 62 weeks, and that's 434 years. 62 times 7 comes out. 434 years. From 396 B.C. to A.D. 30. Okay? That means Christ was born, wasn't it? Okay. At the end of this second period, the Messiah was crucified. It says, if the Jews would have counted and knew the scripture like Daniel did and like the scholars know today, if they could have taken those years, those two periods, those 49 years and the 434 years, if they could have added that up and come up to 483 years, they would have known that Jesus was the Messiah. It was on the exact time, the exact year that Jesus was crucified, 483 years with the start of the building of the temple. I mean, the walls of Jerusalem. Isn't that something? And they missed it. They missed it. Okay, here goes the interesting part for us. And it's still about the Jews. Believe me, everything in here is about the Jews. He's going to call, even during the tribulation time, which the Bible teaches us, Paul says that we won't be here. He said, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation. I'll keep you from that hour. And he's talking about that 7 years of tribulation that's come to this earth. And the way things are pointing, the way things are looking, like I said, I don't know how close it is. I'm not a date setter, but we just need to be looking up and listening for the sound. Okay. Third period of this three-period deal. 1 week. What does 1 week represent? 7 years. Okay. If we take 7 years, and this, like I said, is from the rapture until the millennium, till the Messiah, the true Messiah comes. He said 1 week, that's 7 years. That shows you the tribulation time. It shows you what will be happening then. At the beginning of this period, the Antichrist will make his pact with Israel and will begin his terrible bloodbath. At the end of the last week and of the entire 70-week period, the true Messiah will come and establish his perfect millennium. What do we hear on the news that Jared Kushner is trying to do right now? What is he trying to do? That's Trump's son-in-law. What is he trying to do? He is setting up a contract, trying to set up a 7-year peace treaty with Israel right now. Now, whether this is the peace treaty, but it's leading up to the peace treaty. There could be things changed in it. I think, I didn't say I was going to say this, but I think personally, for Israel to sign this paper to 7 years to give this man the run of the world, or you know what I mean, to take control, it'll have to be in there. We're going to allow you to build the third temple. And with that, you're going to, you know, you'll get that, but you're going to have to give up some of this. But I think the third temple plays a big part in it. I think that's why that coin was made in Israel, because I believe the third temple could even be prefabbed. It might be already prefabbed. Do you know? Well, here we go again. Prophecy. It says that during this time, the 7 years, it's divided in 3.5, 3.5, as we studied. The last 3.5 is when the Antichrist overthrows the church, you know, since it's the abomination of desolation. It says that they're going to go back to the old way of worship when they get this new temple. And to get the new temple, they have to have a red heifer. Now, this is prophecy, and this is in the Bible. For they've had 9 red heifers from Moses up to the time they stopped it. Well, 9 heifers were used. The prophecy is there's only 10 to be used, so there's one more heifer. They say it was born. They have it. They're watching it. They got it protected. And the story is, see, I know we're getting to the 70th week. What they're saying is that this heifer has to have, it can't have any white hairs. It can't have any, it can have 2 white hairs. And believe me, they look at it every month. They're really serious about this being right, because God said, you use a red heifer. And from those ashes, when you sacrifice it, and put it in the water and use the hyssop, you're cleaning all the Levites that will be in control of the temple. Somebody help me out with a word here. The leader during that time. I mean, you know, over the worship part of it, they all have to be clean. They can't go into the temple. Can't serve in the temple. Have to have that. This heifer is born. They have it and are waiting for it. Every 3.5 years, excuse me, at 3.5 years, this this heifer has to get up to that kind of an age. Has to get up to that age. And there it goes into the tribulation of 3.5 years. See? That's what that is being said. All right, let's go on a little bit more. Do the 70th week run continuously? Is there a gap somewhere in the 490 years? They don't run continuously, but that there has been a gap, a parenthesis, 2,000 years between 69th and the 70th week. What happened is when God gave Daniel this prophecy and stuff were coming true. Okay, Michael. Okay. Hold on.
No, what I'm telling you is right
Dave,
now.
Dave, would you
I'm
take him? Take
him. Right now, if I'm telling you that Satan is with us, what does that mean?
Just, I'm teaching right now, and you're interrupting.
No, you're not
I
teaching.
Need.
That's blasphemy. God is teaching.
Let's go.
Get him out. Sorry about that, y'all. Y'all, you see what David did and what we do. And we don't show this much often, but this is why we carry these right here, because this is getting bad and people are coming in here. The door wasn't locked. I lock it every Wednesday. That's my job. My job in here tonight was to teach. And you see what walked in. I wouldn't have let that happen because I walk the halls, walk outside and watch. These are the times we're living in, y'all. And like I said, you know, I apologize for that. But let me go on. We're not going to let that hinder us. God seen and gave this to Daniel. And he said, I'm going to show you these 483 years that you have the opportunity to know that the Messiah is here, that he did come. He gave the periods of time. And 1 7 weeks, 62 weeks. Okay, if you take 7 weeks and 62 weeks, you get 69 weeks. So there's 1 week left. And that 1 week is a 7-year tribulation. It's like when Christ died on the cross, it's like God just took his watch and stopped it right there at 483 years. And he said, now, I'm turning to the Gentiles to show Israel, to show the world what it's like to be saved, what the joy is. He turned it and allowed us to do this. And some of it we ain't done a very good job of, I think. But anyway, with that said, he stopped the clock. 2,000 years is almost passed. When the rapture of the church takes place. And I ain't saying that's, he don't start the clock there. Because the rapture has nothing, really nothing to do with this 70th week, as we see. It's because it's for the Jews. When the signing of that covenant's made with Israel, God hits his watch and starts the last 7 years, which is the last week, which makes it 70 weeks. Don't let me run over time. God has stepped in and stopped the clock of prophecy at Calvary. But soon the Redeemer will blow his trumpet, and the final week of action will be played upon this earth. And like in verse 24 of Daniel 9, I want to give you six main accomplishments of the 70 weeks. Okay? This is what all this was supposed to accomplish for those 70 weeks period. The first period, the second period, up to the third period. And now you've got the scriptures for them that y'all can read, or the verses. It says the first one is to bring the end of all human transgressions and sin, especially those of the nation Israel. And you have Acts 3:13-16, Acts 28:25-31, Ezekiel 37:23, and Romans 11:26-27. This is what he was talking about. To bring an end of all human transgressions and sins, especially for the nation of Israel. During this time of the tribulation, Israel will come back. come back to God, but it's going to be more at the end of the last 3.5 years. You know, when Jacob's name was changed to Israel, I think that's because it says in the Bible that all of Israel will be saved. And I used to think, well, that won't be fair. You know, the Bible says, for whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, they don't even believe in Jesus. So, but what he's saying is that at the 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years, this remnant of Jews are going to be protected. God's going to protect them, and he'll put them in a place, and they feel like it's going to be Petra. And I think that's Israel. The ones who deny Christ and go through this time, I think that's Jacob. Had two names, remember? So he said, all of Israel's house will be saved. I think that little remnant, a third of Israel will be saved. They're at 6 million people right now. 2 million people go to Petra and live. And you can see it on the history. They're going to it now a lot. I'm going to show you Petra. I'm going to show you what it's like. Look how this can, people can't get in. And, you know, they're just showing you on the news right now, on the History Channel, all of this. So I think God is trying to get people ready and get people to understand we are living in the last days. Don't know how close, but we are. Okay, on the second one, it says to make reconciliation of iniquity. And this was done at Calvary when the Messiah was cut off. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:18-20. To vindicate by fulfillment are these prophets and prophecies. Everything that they said has come true at the end of the 70th week. All the prophecies, all the prophets will be vindicated for what they said through this whole period of time. To prove the inability of the devil to rightfully rule the world. He has no right to it. He stole it. Remember Adam? He gave up that right. Jesus takes it back. When the Messiah comes, he says, I take my deed, so he'll take that back. To destroy him and his chief henchman, which is the Antichrist. To usher in the millennium, the 1,000 years reign of Christ. So, and that's, you've got the scriptures for that. Psalms 45:3-7, Isaiah 11:3-5, Jeremiah 23:3-8. So I did get most of it done with some of the, well, I did get it done. But showing you that this prophecy is so important for other prophecies to come true. Where it talks about, you know, this covenant will be made with Israel. That hadn't happened yet. It's going to. There's another prophecy, and I wasn't going to say anything about it because it does get into deeper stuff and all. Isaiah 17:1. Read it. It says, this is the destruction of Damascus. It will be totally destroyed, desolate. Nothing can ever live there but whatever animals come across it. That's never happened before. Never in the Bible. Never. It's future. What are we reading? Where's Russia? Where's Iran? And where's Turkey right now? In Syria. I don't know if God has spoke to Trump's heart or, you know, just gave it to him. Pull out of Israel. Pull out of Syria. You read that in the news? He's pulling all the troops out of Syria. I don't know if him and Netanyahu has got together and said, if you pull the troops out, I'll go ahead and do what we need to do because we see the seriousness of what's fixing to come on us. So we'll go ahead and blow up Syria, Damascus. Damascus is their capital city. So why not take it out? And this is where the strongholds of Iran's at. So how close are we? And after Isaiah 17:1 comes Ezekiel 38. That hadn't happened either. Where Russia, with his hordes of people, Iran, Turkey, marched into Israel. God says, I'm going to put a hook in the mouth and I'm going to draw that nation from the north. Huh? Ezekiel 38:39. He said, I'm going to put a hook in their mouth. And that means he's going to give them something to draw them down to. He said, and what it is that Russia wants to take the spoils of every country they get into. Russia don't care about these nations. They don't care about Iran. You can blow up Iran as far as they care, as long as they can get what they can. So Russia's going to talk Iran, Turkey, and all this, and they're going to march into Israel. Read it in Ezekiel 38. And it's to take their spoils. And the biggest thing that's showing in Israel now is natural gas. They have got it. They've got the oil. And Russia wants it. So what we're seeing in the world today is prophecy coming true. And like I said, I'm not a date setter. I'm not anything like that. But somebody said, what if? Well, they asked me a long time ago, what about America? Where is America during this time? And I gave them two reasons, two things that could happen. Either America will be a third world country from some devastation to happen to it, or America could be blown up, could be attacked by Russia or Iran. They're even talking on the news, you know, about an EMP coming from Iran. They're talking now that we might be getting ready to go to war with Iran. That's why we pull the troops out of Syria. There's so much going on. Yes, ma'am. Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to round this thing up. But anyway, we possibly, I'm just saying, we could see Isaiah 17:1 come alive. We could see the destruction of Damascus. If I seen that, I just get down on my knees and I start looking up, because I believe it could be, that could happen. The rapture takes place. When the rapture takes place, it gets ready for Ezekiel 38 to come about. Everything is building up. Everything is pointing that way. It just hasn't let go yet. God's grace is holding this thing together. When the church leaves, that could be the devastation of America that America can't recover from. Or it could be an earthquake that tears up the United States, like Yellowstone, the Madrid Fault, San Andreas. Who knows? God's in control of it. But something's got to happen to America, because they can't control, they can't help Israel during this time of that invasion in Ezekiel 38-39. I thank you for your time. I hope y'all enjoyed it. I hope you learned something, because I enjoyed teaching. Thank y'all. The 24th.
24th. This is where it's come to the church age. And,
is this all? This is all.